It's recording, you don't mind just checking to make sure.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. We'll get started with our meeting. We want to have a check really quick with those that are online, especially Commissioner Ainge and Bert. Can you hear us?
Can hear you crystal clear.
I can hear you just fine, Commissioner.
Perfect, okay. Again, welcome. We have, first off, we have a Board of Equalization meeting that we have scheduled for this time. On the Board of Equalization, we have 14 items on the agenda. So we'll run down through those. The first one is to adopt an order calling the special meeting. Then we have adopt a resolution on 2, adopt minutes on 3, 4, and 5. I don't have any questions on there. Are there any questions on those first 5?
I don't have any questions. And I do you have any questions on 6, 7, or 8? I would make a motion on 1 through 8 if you're prepared for it, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think that 7, we've got a motion on there. Let's go 1 through 6. Let's go 1 through 6.
I move that we approve agenda items number 1 through 6.
Second.
I've got a motion and a second to approve agenda items 1 through 6 to either adopt or approve. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 7 is to approve or deny the assessor appeal on this one. I noticed there was, if you want to come on up on that one, I think there's a question is if there's an error on it.
Okay, so let me give you some background on this. This is one that is on the hearing process report that after the hearing officer made a determination, the assessor's office realized that there was a factual error, or Merlin can give you the more background, but basically they're wanting the board to set aside the hearing officer recommendation and adopt a lower value than what the hearing officer recommended. And I'll turn that over to Merlin to give the background.
There was a condemnation by the UDOT on a south end of the McDonald's restaurant parcel in Lehigh there at the Traverse Mountain area. And for whatever reason, it was never adjusted for size by the recorder's office. Bringing it to their attention, they adjusted it for me, and it's a total of 794 square feet. Multiplied by $42 and some cents, we get $33,800 of value adjustment that is appropriate due to assessor error. So we were initiating this request in retrospect. It was not a known factor to us until we discovered it almost serendipity. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like this. But
so the process for us then would be to approve this.
I would certainly
and then
recommend the approval.
Then it'd be.
Appeal number.
But we're stating the value.
Yeah, that would be setting aside the hearing officer's recommendation for appeal number 450-2020. The motion would basically be to set aside the hearing officer's recommendation as contained on the hearing process report for appeal number 450-2020 and establish the value, you know, whatever value the assessor's office recommends.
All right. Prior value was $3,283,400. The new value recommended for this factual error correction is $3,249,600, a net difference of $33,800.
Merlin, just for my own, since I'm taking notes on that, and I'll fix that before we send out the letter. Would you read me that recommended value again, please?
$3,249,600. We're making all of the adjustment in the land component of this value. And I have reviewed this with Jim, and he is on it and is prepared to make those, help you, work with you in making those adjustments.
Commissioners, if that's acceptable to the board, if that motion passes, we will adjust that and notify the property owner accordingly.
I'm going to show a sketch or a plat by the recorder's office given to me, highlighting the area that was adjusted.
I'm good with it. Is there any other questions to it?
The owners are good with this assessment then?
They are aware of it only recently. Excuse me. The owners are aware that, and they have been trying to get our ear on this matter. And by following through, I've confirmed that there was a concern of the getting the correct size on this parcel. When it's as valuable per square foot, it does add up, even though it's a 794 square feet.
But the owners right are happy or wanted this process to be resolved, right?
The owner did want us to resolve the correct size.
Okay. Make a motion that.
Okay, I'll take it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Tom.
It's a lot. It's going to be a complicated one.
Then I make a motion that we approve item number 7 on the Board of Equalization, that we approve the appeal, and appeal number 450-2020.
With a value?
With a value, excuse me. And the value was stated at, did I understand it right, is $3,283,400?
That was the 49. Prior value. The new value would be
$3,249,600. As stated.
Second.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 8 is to approve the Board of Equalization hearing process report. No questions for me on that one.
Okay.
I have no
move questions. That we approve agenda item number 8.
Okay. I make second that motion.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the number 8. As stated, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 3-0. Number 9 is to approve or deny the owner's request to reinstate the taxable status to a primary residence. I believe this one, there was some confusion. I don't know who's going to speak to this one. I was reading down through it. It looked like it went to a rental or something of that nature. And then.
Yeah, this was declared as an error on the residential property declaration. As a secondary residence, the owner has submitted a new application with documentation from the property management company that it has been leased full-time for about three years, continuously.
Okay.
So we're just recommending that we change it back to a primary for 2020.
Okay. I move that we approve agenda item number 9.
I can second that.
Get a motion and a second to approve agenda item number 9. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 10 is to approve or deny a petition to the Board of Equalization for a hearing appeal of the property valuation.
Okay.
Go ahead and take off on this one. I do have some questions unless you answer them through your process.
I apologize, Commissioners. I had thought I'd made comments on all of these. I apparently missed this one. The property is the petition. The owner is petitioning the appeal after the filing deadline on the basis of a failure to notify, and trying to make an argument about the factual nature of the property. The property, the owner was notified. Well, okay. So in terms of failure to notify, it has to show the county didn't attempt to make the notification according to the state statute, which is we sent a notification to the address of record, to the owner of record at the time that the notices were generated. In this case, we did so and have done so for a couple of years to this address. I apologize, I didn't get that uploaded, but I did check that. So in terms of a notification issue, I don't see that there's a notification issue on this one. And the owner really does not really state why they didn't receive the other notice, other than the fact they say they didn't appeal on time because they didn't get an earlier notice. And so they don't really give us much to go on. They're mostly making an argument about why the property should be lowered in value.
Which, Paul, I think is, if I remember correctly, is not considerable for us on this at this stage.
That is 100% correct. Yeah, at this point, you cannot consider value. The only things you could consider would be lack of notice, extraordinary circumstances, or factual mistake. So,
if they were appealing this on a value perspective, because it looked like it jumped $125,000 in value in 1 year. I'm not clear why that would be.
Right, yeah. So you have a certain time period that you can appeal based on value. And that time, they missed their deadline. And so they're asking us, they're asking the Board of Equalization at this point to allow the appeal late. And there's only certain grounds you can consider to allow the late appeal. One would be is if we did not send notice to the right address. Mr. Harvey just walked us through that. It sounds like we did send notice, as we have routinely done. There are a couple of other grounds. If they had a medical emergency that prevented them from meeting their deadline, or if there was a mistaken fact. For example, the assessor's office did a valuation and they messed up on square footage or type of property or something like that. Or if they had some extraordinary and extenuating circumstances, then you could allow for the late appeal. But certainly the one thing that is most clear is that you cannot have a late appeal if your only reason is that there's a value issue.
Yeah, because it looks like the last two sentences in his explanation, there's two appeals. The last one is, you know, we didn't did not receive a notice, but the one prior to that, the sentence says, please reconsider the assessment, because it jumped $125,000 a year's time. That's a little foggy to me why it would jump that much, and it would be nice to have that as part of the dialogue.
Yeah, is there anybody from the assessor's office perhaps that might be able to...
Well, and just from, and Commissioner Sakovich, this is Bert Harvey, from the perspective of the auditor's office, just so you're aware, these kind of value jumps, especially with vacant land, can happen from year to year. The reason we're talking about the reason for missing the filing deadline is that for the board, the amount of the value adjustment is not a basis for deciding whether to accept the appeal or not. Even if, for example, the value adjustment is out of whack, the state requires the burden of proof to be on the appellant. So the appellant has to not only meet the filing deadline, and if they don't meet the filing deadline, they meet the statutory requirements for filing late, but then they also have to provide the documentation that shows why the value adjustment would be out of whack. When we're dealing with a late petition, we're only looking at why they missed the filing deadline.
I understand that. Are we going?
Okay.
Is there a process for hearing an appeal and evaluation process? Is it a separate item?
Yes.
Seems like.
Well, there's a very robust process that we have at the county for appealing the valuation, but you've got to meet the deadline to participate in that, and so. There's probably hundreds of properties that go through the valuation appeal process that don't come before the BOE because they appeal by the deadline. If you miss the deadline, then you have to have justification for missing the deadline, and valuation cannot be the justification.
I understand that. What, when was the deadline?
The deadline is September 15th.
September 15th.
Yeah. And state statute allows a property owner to file an appeal anytime between when the valuation notices get mailed out, which is July 22nd, until September 15th for any reason. And the bar that's established by state code for filing an appeal and getting that appeal heard by the county is actually pretty low. As long as they file an appeal with basic documentation, then the board is required to accept the appeal and do a review and go through the process. But after September 15th, from September 16th basically on forward, we accept appeals filed late only if they meet a certain set of guidelines as established by state statute and administrative rule.
Right.
For every agenda item where we have one of these, I did post for your reference those guidelines put by the state. And essentially what Paul is saying is essentially it has to either be a medical emergency, a death in the family.
Yeah.
If the county did not comply with the notification requirements, which is not that they didn't get the notice, but the county didn't send the notice or some other ways through the county error, they didn't get the notice. If there's a factual error that exists, like we say they've got five bedrooms, they've only got two, those kinds of things.
Sure.
Or if there's some sort of extraordinary or unanticipated circumstances, which you'll kind of see an example of that in the coming agenda items. What we're talking about when extraordinary.
Yeah,
so.
I got that. I see a 10-week collapse. They missed it by 10 weeks, basically. It was filed September 15th, and it was due September 15th. But it was filed on the 1st of December, so I missed it by 10 weeks.
Right. And, of course, from a process standpoint, folks will always put, they may try to make their argument about why the value should be lowered in their petition as to why they missed the filing deadline. We typically ignore that because we're not dealing with their value issue yet. That has a very robust process.
No, I got it.
The hurdle they have to meet right now is they have to meet that, okay, here's why I didn't file on time. Here's my reasoning. This is why it meets the statute. If it doesn't, even if their reasoning is good, well, anyways, I'll leave that up to Paul and the board. I mean, it's all up to the board's discretion, but that's from a process standpoint. That's what we're doing here. And that's why I'm only talking about their reason and not talking about what their value issue is.
So they'll need to appeal the valuation separately then. Okay.
This is their valuation appeal, but the valuation appeal can't be heard unless the board decides that their reason for missing the deadline meets the state guidelines.
And it's pretty thin in here as to why. So,
yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, it is. And I just wanted to, while we were talking, I did back up. I was making sure I was correct in the notification issue. I show we sent the notice to their address for the last 2 years to the same address. So, people say that they don't get the notice, but oftentimes it's because the notice they receive in July gets lost or they gets ignored. And then they don't pay attention until they get their tax notice in November and in October. And then that's when they file an appeal saying, oh, I never got the first notice. When a lot of time it does come down to, oh, I never opened the first notice.
Okay.
And if I was reading through their explanation and saw anything in here personally that would give me some pause, either with extraordinary circumstance or lack of notification, it would be easy for me to say, yes, we should see this. Just what I'm reading, the 8,000 to 134,000 seems like it should be reevaluated. But in this case, with the parameters that we have, I can't.
We're kind of forced by statute to do it.
I can't go beyond that. I don't see any extraordinary circumstances or notification problems. Any other questions? All right, a motion to be in order.
Then
I move that we deny
agenda
item number 10.
I second the motion.
I got a motion and a second to deny agenda item number 10. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 11 is to approve or deny a Board of Equalization hearing appeal of property valuation.
Okay. This appeal, the owner failed to mark a reason for missing the deadline on the petition, but he did provide an explanation in the body of the petition itself. And really what this came down to is it would be one of those extraordinary and unanticipated circumstances. And I did have a conversation with this appellant about what happened. Essentially, they filed their appeal online, but when they filed the appeal, when they uploaded their documentation, they failed to upload an additional page that showed the additional parcels in the appeal. We went through the course of the appeal. They went to a hearing. At the hearing, they were asking the hearing officer why they weren't dealing with the other parcels, and come to find out that they never basically the other parcels were never included on the appeal because the other parcels were never forwarded to us to include in the appeal. So they're essentially asking for the board to grant the appeal for the rest of the parcels they had originally intended to file. I can tell you, we reviewed the documentation this appellant provided, and you know, the documentation could reasonably be applied to multiple parcels, but because based off of what they gave us, we did not make that assumption. There was not really much in the file that would have made us think that there was additional parcels. But when they showed us the additional page that had been missing, it was clear that they had an intention, and they probably in did make a good faith effort to file a full appeal. It just one of those circumstances that happened that no one caught until long after the deadline.
Medical emergency and a death, yeah.
Now, this would be extraordinary or unanticipated circumstance, meaning that this was something that no one could have planned on happening, or it's not reasonable that it could have been avoided.
Okay.
And the reasonable part is probably where we get into trouble. You know, if they had called us and made sure that the stuff had come through, or if they had double checked, or even when they got notices, because we do send out notices as part of the process, noticing that there was only the limited number of parcels that were included, at some point along the lines, they probably could have prevented that from happening, because we would have, I mean, what it came down to on this one also is that the appeal process had already progressed to the point of a hearing. And at that point, it was impossible for us to just go back and add the parcels to the hearing. So, and plus the fact it was so far past the deadline, we told them they'd have to file a late appeal for the parcels that were missed.
Normally, with extraordinary and unanticipated circumstances, you'd think it would be some factor outside their control. In this case, they inadvertently didn't add the pages. Of course, it would be up to the Board of Equalization to find whether or not there was some sort of extraordinary or unanticipated circumstances. Probably the only criteria they could possibly fit into.
Yeah, I don't see it as medical emergency, death of the property owner, failure to notice, or factual error. But I do see it as an extraordinary, or in this case, and an unanticipated circumstances. I think that their intent was real in trying to make sure that those were all on there. So I would deem it as extraordinary or unanticipated.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve item number 11.
Do I have second? I have a motion and a second to approve agenda item number 11. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Number 12 is to approve or deny petition to the Board of Equalization to hear the appeal of property valuation as stated in number 12. And this one, I think there was a question on factual error.
Yeah, and we would defer to the assessor's office to agree if there is a factual error, then it can certainly be accepted, and we can make a correction of the error and of course they're basing that factual error on a value, an appeal that was done in 2019 where the value was reduced to a certain amount per acre. In 2020, that amount was increased up to a new amount that was obviously much higher than $500 per acre, which is what they say in their statement. The question here, of course, is whether that value increase between 2019 and 2020 actually was a factual error or not. You know, sometimes these value increases are intentional. Most times these significant value increase like that is intentional. I don't know if this would necessarily be a factual error unless the assessor's office agrees that it is one.
Perhaps for Commissioner Sakovich's benefit, to qualify To accept a late application under factual error, the assessor's office actually has to agree that it was a factual error. So the board really can't just decide this unilaterally. The assessor's office has to be in agreeance with the factual error prong.
And the assessor's opinion?
I did bring this to Clarissa Reeves' attention. She reviewed it and did not seem to feel that there was a factual error, that it was just in the normal basis of the assessment process. So she said she did not think it was a factual error, but that's all the information I have on it.
So the only question I have is, he's claiming there's a signed and returned a stipulation back in 2019, stating the value. What's being said is that was 2019's value, and now this year, or 2020's value is 1,000 per acre instead of the 500 per acre. Am I reading that right? Maybe I'm not reading.
Yeah, you're
that.
Reading that right.
I am.
It almost sounds like maybe the property owner felt like the 2019 value maybe didn't get changed, is what he feels, right? That you stipulated to a lower value, which usually the next year value would come off of the previous year value, right? And it sounds like maybe he's saying that it didn't get changed and that was the factual error part, but.
Yeah.
We could defer that, for 2 weeks till our next BOE and get more information on that.
I think that would be great just to clarify that, especially doubling in value based off a stipulation that happened in 2019. I think it'd be great to at least take a check and see.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the nuance there was that maybe one of the parcels remained, but the parcels that they transferred didn't get that stipulated value.
Sorry, go ahead, Commissioner Andrew. No, I apologize.
That's it.
I was just going to say, I am looking at the 2019 appeal right now. I'm looking at the stipulation, and the stipulation that was signed, he references appeal number 709, the 2019 appeal number 709 in the body of the petition. And the only parcel that was stipulated was the 60-034-0003. The 0035 and 0037, as far as I can tell, were not part of this appeal. But if you'll indulge me just for a moment, I can look up to see if those other two parcels were appealed, to see if maybe they were also offered a stipulation.
Or were they created afterwards through a subdivision, I think?
Good question. I would have to, if we're going to continue this, obviously we can get more information and maybe get that better research and bring that before the board on the 28th, if that's probably going to be easier for the board.
So
I would move that we continue agenda item number 12 to our next Board of Equalization meeting.
I can second that.
I got a motion and a second to continue item number 12 to our next Board of Equalization meeting. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0. Number 13 is to approve or deny a petition of the Board of Equalization to hear an appeal for the stipulated parcel numbers that are on 13.
Okay, and in this case, petitioner, through looks like legal counsel, did provide a significant explanation as to why they missed the filing deadline, and they are claiming under extraordinary and unanticipated circumstances. Looks like due to the effects of COVID on the property owner trying to comply with COVID requirements and those kind of things. So that's probably a very weak summary of the letter. The letter is quite substantial.
Yeah. Seems to be straightforward. If there's no real discussion, I'd move that we approve. Item number 13.
I do have some discussion there. I don't really feel like they've met I'm happy to second the motion, but I'm trying to tease out. I mean, we have not accepted just general COVID is difficult.
So therefore, I got to clarify, Commissioner. So you second it. So now we can have discussion. Is that correct?
I have not seconded it.
Okay. I have a motion on the floor, so I need to know if there's a second or not. Are you willing to second that?
If he has a discussion, I'll just withdraw the motion.
Okay. Okay. The motion's been withdrawn, so we can have more discussion.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm just curious, as I read this, I'm trying to understand why I don't see a reason why it was justified for them to miss the deadline. Or in other words, what was unique to them that wasn't the case of every single property owner in this county?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to read through it again, because we have already given a number of individuals who have suffered some hardships from COVID, and I think and you're correct that I'm trying to read down through it to see if this is more just stating COVID as a reason without specifics, because on the last ones that we have done that, I've read specifics. Is that kind of what you're teasing out there on that?
Yeah. You know, like something the property owner was, you know, sick. We've seen a lot of different iterations that are like specific, but not just, you know, hey, because of the pandemic, we didn't realize that our property went up until after the deadline.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed in the middle of the second paragraph back page, it says that the entity had not received or reviewed the 2020 valuation processes. And it mentioned something about delays in mail. I've seen that just in way of letters and boxes. Their two-day shipments turned out to be 15-day arrivals. So there is a possibility that there was a delay in the receipt of the letter, or if it was received at all. I don't know the answer to that.
If I might provide information to the board, the letters were all mailed out prior to July 22nd this year, which is the statutory deadline. So if we take a worst case scenario, it took 2 weeks to reach the appellant in Colorado. That would put the letter getting there approximately the second, about the first or second week of August, which of course would be significantly different, significantly before the filing deadline of September 15th. On top of that, we have, the board has in prior appeals earlier in the year have granted, due to related to COVID, but those prior grants were usually on the basis that the property owner themselves had contracted COVID and was, you know, had to be isolated and was not able to either participate in their appeal or file an appeal because they were, you know, physically ill. So that has been ones from when it comes to COVID, that has been what the board historically this year has done thus far.
So I'm trying to read through it to see this out. I mean, there's a few things that are troublesome to me when we say the emergent effect of COVID-19 as protective measures implemented by the states have dramatically and negatively impacted everyone across the country. That's a true statement. I think going to Commissioner Ainge's point, though, we have usually given this to those who have specifically shown us, I'm not seeing anything in here on specifics. I see a lot of generalities of what's disrupting businesses, general mail delays. We've all experienced that. Is anybody seeing anything different on that?
Commissioner Ainge is correct, because that second paragraph touches on COVID issues that are affecting businesses and personnel and functions of mail and other things, but it doesn't give any specifics for the location of the property and the owner. So that perhaps it was wiser that he spoke up when he did and I withdrew the motion. It seems to be general, and there are issues in different states that are far more lockdown status than Utah has been. I don't know the conditions of the owners, and I don't know any details of how this these lockdowns affected them in their particular location.
My understanding is this the if this is the is this the mix?
Ah, good question, Commissioner. Let me. I can answer that question in just a moment.
Now, what was that again? The what?
It's the development over by the original Cafe Rio.
The neighborhood Walmart in Provo and surrounding.
Neighborhood Walmart in Provo.
Base of the hill.
And surrounding.
Surrounding properties.
Okay.
They bought six properties, including the neighborhood Walmart.
The property address is listed as 2245 North University Parkway.
Yeah. As far as I know, there's been no restrictive lockdowns in Provo to prevent someone from filing.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time approving it just based off of what I'm reading on this.
Do we need to send it back for clarification?
I don't think so. Unless
I don't know the answer if that's appropriate or not.
I think in my opinion, the burden is on them to give the reason, and they have not met that standard.
It is.
So I would be prepared to vote.
What would you like to clarify?
Well, the second paragraph, it's the 1, 2. It's back page, paragraph number 4, where it starts out the emergent effects of COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It gives broad sweeping issues that affect several states, but doesn't talk about specifically to the owner's location. Is that how you read it, Commissioner Ainge?
Yeah, I mean, I view it still just it's general and broad. So,
in this case,
they'll have a chance to adjust this. You know, they may miss out this year, but so if there's no discussion, I would make a motion to deny regular agenda item number 13.
Based on all of this, I would second the motion that we deny appeal number 13.
Okay, I've got a motion and a second to deny the appeal of stated number 13. Any further discussion on that? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 That hit, so number 13's been denied. Number 14 is to approve an appeal, approve or deny a petition to Board of Equalization hearing appeal of property value as stated in the parcel numbers on number 14.
Okay, 14. So this is, really the basis of this is the owner is basing on their, or requesting under failure to notify. It probably wouldn't really qualify as failure to notify. It could probably be more qualified under extraordinary circumstances. This happens frequently, though. The property owner was purchasing the property at the time that the deadline passed, and they actually didn't take ownership until after September 15th. But due to some issues with addressing and between the city's address, the Postal Service's address, and the county address, they didn't get their notice probably timely. But I would like to point out the valuation notice itself and likely the tax notice would not have been mailed out to the new property owner simply for the lag time it takes between when a property is recorded with the county and when that property is the ownership is transferred after the deed is worked. So likely the new owner, given the fact they did not take ownership until later September, they wouldn't have gotten a notice period anyways. The owner they bought it from would have gotten the valuation notice. And then in the transfer of the ownership in the time it takes to work the deed, the old owner still would have gotten the tax notice just because they would have been with that 4 to 6 week lead time. The question here, of course, really the new owner, who obviously is wanting to appeal the property value, really wouldn't have gotten a chance. They wouldn't have gotten a notice, and they wouldn't. And but because they weren't the owner at the time that the property, that the deadline passed, you know, they wouldn't have had a chance to necessarily file an appeal. They wouldn't have necessarily had standing yet. So it would be really up to the board to decide if this is, it really falls in that extraordinary circumstances clause. I would probably refer to, you know, Paul and what the attorney's office kind of thinks of that. But that's really looks like the chain of circumstances here, and based off what the property owner is requesting and what they provided in their petition.
I probably agree with Bert to the extent that this looks more like an extraordinary circumstance than a failure to notify. You know, buying a property in September, you're going to have some questions about whether or not you're going to get that tax notice. They wouldn't have the valuation notice that triggers your chance to file an appeal was sent out. Was it July? And so they didn't.
July, yeah, they go out July 22nd.
Of course, they didn't purchase the property until September. In fact, they didn't purchase the property until September 21st, which is even after the deadline to even appeal. So it seems like really the obligation to appeal really should have fallen on the previous owner. The new owner is sort of in the position he's in because he bought a house after the appeal deadline.
Well, this is, they didn't purchase the property until 6 days after the deadline for responding or providing an appeal.
And of course, the question of standing here is important because, you know, the on-time appeal deadline ends on September 15th, but the state does allow for a late filing all the way until March 31st of the following year. So it's really up to the board to decide if a new owner, if let's say a new owner takes ownership of the property in December and really disagrees with the county's value, you know, do they have standing to go back and file as a late appeal and, you know, claim an extraordinary circumstance? Well, I didn't own the property yet. I didn't know what the value was, but now that I do, you know, I closed for $100,000 less than the county valued it for. I think it should be adjusted. Right. That's we've had these in the past. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. I don't think that the board has necessarily been one way or the other on these types of questions that have come up in the past. I think they have ruled in favor or against in both cases. So I don't have any clear history here that I can point the board to as far as precedent goes.
See, and I see the confusion when they're filling out the application, because it appears like they checked one of the extraordinary and unanticipated circumstances and then crossed that out. Factual error, cross that out, trying to find, you know, how this is going to work. And then they put failure to notify, and I can see in their mind thinking, well, I never even got a notification. How could they get a notification? I can see in their minds that confusion going down through there. And so but technically, it's not a failure to notify according to what we have to do. There is a notification that went out, you know, legally and lawfully in that way, according to the statutes and rules. But they're caught in a weird dynamic there. And typically, if I remember correctly, on a lot of these, we have for the most part always approved these types because of the extenuating circumstances around them.
I will say that for really all of the options to open the door to an appeal, they have to show that they had one of the reasons during the appeal period. You know, there's got to be a medical emergency, you know, before September 15th. There's got to be a death of a property owner before September 15th. Factual error, of course, doesn't really have a time frame, but the extraordinary circumstances also requires that they have this extraordinary circumstances during the appeal time.
Yeah, so, Paul, because they actually didn't purchase the property till after, so I think that's really cutting straws thin.
That's 6 days after it was due.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that, and on a standing basis, is that kind of where you're headed with it? but they still have to do something about it, or they should be able to do some, in my opinion. I mean, I guess that could be appealed and we could draw that line hard, but I'd rather not draw that line so hard, personally.
I would make a motion to approve item number 14.
I would like to second that.
I got a motion and a second to approve agenda item number 14. All in favor say aye.
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 That passes 3-0.
Oh, whoops.
Okay, we'll pause for 1 second.
I believe someone needs to make a motion to adjourn, by the way.
Oh. Oh, that's a good idea.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We got a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We are now adjourned.